Welcome to the Max Living Podcast.
We're here to help you live your life to its fullest potential by taking control of your health, identifying the cause of common health challenges, and removing interference. Whether your health journey has had its ups and downs, you're looking for natural answers to common health questions, or you're an advocate for health freedom, come and join us.
Let's align your health.
Hey, Max Living Nation, this is Dr. Ryan Berlin and Ashley Berlin, and today we're excited to be talking about chiropractic myths versus facts. This is going to be a fun episode as we just dive into things that are contrary to popular belief, like chiropractors don't just crack backs. But what do we do? Join us today as we debunk the myths about chiropractic in today's episode of the Max Living Podcast. So Ashley, let's get into this and talk about some of the myths that we hear in chiropractic.
I love this. It's really interesting because as someone who didn't grow up under chiropractic care, I started in chiropractic care when I was an adult. There were a lot. I had some fear and some trepidation about what was going to happen in the office and how it was going to go down. And I did have some preconceived thoughts about what chiropractic was. So I love the conversation about what is a chiropractic myth and what is an actual fact. So I think that...
Well, I want to interject really quickly. Yes. In fact, you had never been to a chiropractor.
No.
And then we met.
Yes.
And one of the rules of engagement was you had to go see a chiropractor.
No, like actual engagement.
Yeah, actual engagement. So you reached out to the most hippie...
Yes.
Person you knew, because you assumed anybody that saw a chiropractor had to be a little bit crunchy.
I had to be a little bit of a hippie. Yeah, I know. And I had one girlfriend who was like a mega hippie. She was the only person that I knew that like just did things in a really more holistic method in her life. And so I reached out to her and I was like, hey, bud, where can I, like, do you go to a chiropractor? And she was like, of course. So it was great. And it's funny because that was, you know, like 20 some odd years ago now, and things have really changed where it's not hard. Now it's really easy to just talk to anybody, and you'll be surprised at how many people go to see a chiropractor. It's a Absolutely. Lot more commonplace now. But yeah, I did. I had to find my most hippie friend to go find a chiropractor.
So myth number one, you don't have to be a hippie to go to a chiropractor. Yeah,
you don't have to be a hippie to go to a chiropractor. Right, exactly. So here's one. As we're talking about that, in fact, I think that there's an interesting myth that's out there, and that is that chiropractors think that they can cure anything.
Yeah. Okay. So I've come across this one before. And I think that if I had to give a little background on where I think this comes from, I think it comes from the fact that people hear chiropractors and patients talking about all the things that they've gotten better from. So it's very common that people will talk about their kids' ADHD improving, their own acid reflux changing, their kids' constipation changing, patients getting pregnant after they couldn't conceive, and then they started chiropractic care and got pregnant. All these different things. I mean, not just headaches and back pain and stuff, but like actual health conditions that people wouldn't normally relate to chiropractic. And so I think if you listen to that long enough, like either from a chiropractor or from patients, or if you're in our office, you know, if you're just upstairs, like we were talking the other day about the celebration board.
Yes, we have a celebration board in our office. And so it's beautiful. It's written right there in big, bold letters, right when you walk into where you do all of our exercises to prep before your adjustment. And so written on that board, every single month, we celebrate the things that we've seen happen in the office, the miracles that we've seen. And we see everything. I mean, right now, this month, I just walked by it this morning in the office, and I saw eyesight that was improving, which was near and dear to my heart. I haven't seen that in a few months on the board. And so I had it myself. And so to see that on the board with a patient was wonderful. We saw irritable bowel syndrome healing. We saw ADHD healing. We saw blood pressure normalizing. We saw heart arrhythmias normalizing. We actually had a patient who was off the liver transplant list, which is an amazing feat of the body, right?
And so, the body did that. If you listen to that long enough, you're like, chiropractors think that chiropractic.
Right. Are you a liver doctor? Everything. Are you curing livers? Are you curing behavior issues? Are you curing eyes? Are you curing, you know, like blood vessels? What the heck's going on in that office?
So I think it's important to address then, like, what is it? What is chiropractic? Why does it work? And so here's simply what chiropractic is. You have your brain and your spinal cord and your nerves branching out, which is all one continuous network. Kind of like a tree has roots and a trunk and branches. It's not different parts. It's all one continuous part.
Right.
And so these nerves extend out and it's taking the information, the life-giving information and healing information from the brain out right. to the organs. And so in order to have health, you have to have clear communication between your brain and your periphery, your organs and your tissues and your muscles. And so chiropractic is the science of studying the spine and how the spine interferes with the nervous system when it becomes subluxated. And subluxation is simply a vertebra that is not moving and or in the wrong position.
Yes.
And that creates damage to the nervous system. And then the nervous system is interfered with. The nervous system can't regulate healing and function of the entire body well. And so chiropractors are trained to find and locate and analyze those subluxations and then determine what force it's going to take in what direction to start making corrections. We simply get pressure and damage off the nerves. The body does the healing.
It's amazing.
So the body knows how to restore yes. eyesight function. The body knows how to reduce blood pressure. Innately, the body knows how to make a child. The body knows. So why aren't these things happening? Why do conditions show up? Conditions are not entities. They're the lack of normal function.
Yes.
And so when somebody doesn't have infertility, they don't have infertility. They have the inability to produce a baby in a normal way.
Right.
And we always should go back first and go, all right, where are the interferences? Are there interferences to your nervous system? Are there interferences in your nutrition? Are there interferences in other ways? But chiropractic is really the study of interference and damage to the nervous system. So when we correct those subluxations, do people heal from yes. acid reflux? Yeah, absolutely they do. Do they heal from? So I can't imagine a single condition where you're better off with a subluxation causing interference to your nervous system, because there isn't one.
There isn't one.
And I would argue that does all acid reflux get better under chiropractic care? No, because right. there is acid reflux that's not caused by subluxation. Now, should that patient still be getting adjusted to remain subluxation free?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Because say that subluxation, say that acid reflux is caused from their nutrition.
Yes.
Now, keeping the interference out of the way, are they going to heal better or worse from their crappy nutrition?
Yeah, that was good. That was good, right?
if they're adjusted, right?
Right.
So chiropractic right. is always beneficial, even in the presence of great health.
Absolutely. And mind you, that more often than not, those that see a chiropractor for a very long time for their life, and even you even benefit from it for a short time, but every patient should be under lifetime chiropractic care. And those benefits give you health.
And I think that goes to like another myth, which is chiropractic is only for people who have back pain or yes. who are older or who have bad spines. That's not true. Chiropractic care is for everyone. In fact, infants benefit from chiropractic care yes. because very frequently the first subluxations begin at birth. And when those kids get adjusted, their abnormal sleeping patterns get better
yes.
and their abnormal digestion and regurgitation of, you know, mom's milk and reflux that improves. And, you know, they're not having trouble going to the bathroom. They go more frequently, like they're supposed to. And just, they're just more peaceful and less irritable. Colic is virtually non-existent
yes.
in chiropractic patients when they're infants. And then kids, you know, I mean, you find kids that are 2-1-year-old, 2-year-old, they're learning how to walk, they're falling, they're still clumsy with their bodies. They're subluxated all the time.
Oh my gosh. Have you ever watched a kid? Like they're tumbling and falling and bicycles. And oh my gosh, we got all these electric scooters now. My kids, our son got a concussion from, yeah, you know, one of those crazy. Yeah. He wasn't wearing his helmet and he was wearing on one of his crazy electric scooters. So that was a good lesson. Yeah,
and not only did he get a concussion, the reason he was getting adjusted was because if you hit your head on the ground that hard, your neck also took yes. a lot of that force.
Yes.
And so you just heal better when you're getting adjusted. In fact, there's research that shows that adjusting the spine actually has an influence over the health of the brain. There was a Nobel Prize one on research that showed that about 90% of the health and function of the brain depends on proper movement of the spinal cord.
Absolutely.
So kids get adjusted so that their brain functions better. So I think—
Yes. Why does your kid get adjusted? Why does my son get adjusted? Why do my daughter get adjusted? Because their brain functions
well,
better.
Well, we noticed this in our kids, you know, they just recently have moved back all the neurological benchmarks
yes.
and milestones. So they're saying yes. kids shouldn't walk before a certain age now, where they used to have those milestones backwards. Now we can get into why
right.
and different things that kids are exposed to every 6 months or so to a year.
Right, right.
But really, our kids not only didn't participate in traditional medical care, but they got adjusted on a regular basis. And we frequently had teachers saying, and I don't know what it is, but your kid is like here,
yes,
compared to a lot of these other kids in terms of their
cognitive abilities
yep, and their developmental benchmarks.
Right.
They were walking sooner, talking sooner. Certain kids could say 20 words. Ours were saying 100.
Yes.
And I am bragging a little bit, but I'm more bragging on chiropractic because yes, we feel blessed that our family. So, you know, chiropractic not just being for adults, but so my mom and dad are in their 60s. They've been under chiropractic care for 40 years or so. My brothers and I, there's three of us, and all of our wives are under chiropractic care. My brothers and I have been under chiropractic care for 30 plus years. Mm-hmm. Our wives have all been under chiropractic care for probably 20 years, roughly.
Right.
Our kids have been under chiropractic care since birth. And so now you have 16 members in my family. And then we could extend that to yours, but
sure,
16 members in my family and not a single one of them takes a medication. Not because another myth that we'll talk about in a second that they right, don't believe in medication. No, it's just simply they have a better way that actually produces
right,
a better outcome when it comes to their health. I was going to say it produces health, but it doesn't. Health is something you already have.
Right.
So what it does is we're constantly removing the interference to healing. So we just heal really well.
Isn't that a beautiful thing to think about, is that you already have it? Like you don't need to go into your doctor's office and try to buy health.
Yep.
You have it inside of you. It's yours. We're not selling it to you. You can't buy it. You can't, like, it's there. You get it and you can nurture that and you could really like dig deep and learn how to flourish it. And that's what you're learning in Max Living Offices, right? That's what they're teaching you, how to nurture that health that's already inside of you, but you don't have to buy it.
Or maybe you're learning that for the first time and this is where you should be looking into checking out a Max Living Office.
Absolutely.
And going to, you know, the best way to do that is go to maxliving.com and click on find a doctor.
Yep. Absolutely.
So let's go through some more of these. So that, I think that goes to the next one, which is chiropractors don't believe in medicine.
Yes. Yeah. So this is an interesting myth that chiropractors don't believe in medicine, but I will say that I understand like where the myth comes from, because I think that there's a philosophical discussion here that there you can have around it.
For sure. So I think if we look at this truly, like I have to drive by all the drugstores on the way home.
Yes.
I have to drive past 3 hospitals.
Yes.
It's not that I don't believe medicine, you know, doesn't exist or whatever.
We know it's real.
We just don't believe it's the way to build health.
Yes.
And the data is out there that shows it's not the way to build health. In fact, I mean, I'm so sick of the evidence-based thing, because really what's happened is with this whole evidence-based thing, now people just pay for whatever studies they want and then they have the evidence. Here's the reality. You ready? If medicine was the way to health and healing, it would be very simple. Find the person who takes the most medication and you'll find the healthiest person.
Absolutely.
We all know that that's not how it works.
Right.
Find the person on the most medication and you will likely find the least healthy person.
Right. And I've heard you do it before. I've heard you speak in front of a group of people and say, raise your hand if you want to be on more medication. Right now, listening into this podcast, raise your hand if you want to be on more medication.
Yeah, more drugs and surgery, raise your hand.
No,
hands don't go up.
Nobody wants it.
Because, you know, I think the jig is up a little bit. People realize that medicine is not even treating the condition. It's treating the symptoms of the condition. It's a lot like, you know, we used to use the masking tape over the check engine light.
Right.
So I think the biggest thing to understand is that if you look for truly the healthiest people, you know, in their 60s, 70s, 80s, you know, yeah, they're probably eating well. Yeah, they're probably exercising or whatever, or had good habits. But if you find people at that age, my guess is they're not, if they have really good health and they're the people you'd be envious of, they're probably not on medication. They probably haven't been taking lots of medication throughout their lifetime. Also, I would venture to guess, because I've seen this and I've been able to prove this over and over again, if they're 60, 70, 80 years old and are in amazing health and still moving around and all that, and their posture looks great, their x-rays are probably going to look really good.
Right. And here's something interesting to even mention here is that, so I think in terms of the chiropractors don't believe in medication myth, we acknowledge that it exists. Absolutely. We just don't believe that it's a great strategy for health. I think that that's a fair thing to say, right?
It's not only fair, I think it's accurate.
I think it's brilliant. It's not a great it's not a great strategy for health, right?
That's a terrible strategy for health.
I love the fireman example that you've given.
Well, so that's the point. So does it play a role? Absolutely, it plays a role. Like the medical doctor, especially emergency care and intervention when things have gotten to the point that they're that bad and you need surgical intervention and Yeah, it plays a role. End stage care, like, you know, when you know, like, it's too late, that type of stuff. They do a fantastic job of intervening in situations where people probably wouldn't have made it.
Right.
Right. And there's some fantastic stuff there. But that's a small percentage of healthcare. The vast majority of healthcare in the United States is like people taking drugs for conditions that are lifestyle problems. And so the fireman example is that my dad was a fireman. So I came up with this example, or I don't know how, where exactly. I just remember I've been saying it for years. Is that we look at medicine a lot like the fire department. When I say medicine, I mean the practice of medicine. That our goal, my goal is that my patients, that you guys, that, you know, my wife and I, that anybody that we have an influence over, my goal would be that you require as little medical care as possible, ideally none, for the rest of your lives. That one day you just wear out, you die in your sleep, and you never needed to go to a doctor. That would be ideal. Now, we know that there are things that happen, kind of like the fire department. So the fire department, I hope they're never at my house, ever. I hope they're never at my office. I hope they're never at my car. I hope that the fire department never gets called, because that would mean there was never a fire. Now, if there's a fire, guess who I'm calling?
The fire department.
Fire department.
For sure.
And they're going to come in wielding axes and, you know, slinging around hoses and blasting water everywhere. But once the fire is out, what if they keep blasting water and swinging axes and doing all this stuff?
Right. Or what if you don't have, what if you don't have a fire in their house and they come in with hoses and axes and start like rolling
destroying
down your house,
destroying your house. So our goal should be that we never require medical care, but if something happens, if there's a trauma or something, an emergency or something, or something we've overlooked, that we take care of it quickly. And as soon as we possibly can, we get away from that model again, and then we rebuild our health with the things that actually cause health.
Yes.
Nutrition, exercise, being mindful of toxicity, stress management, techniques like that, chiropractic adjustments, removing interference. We call those things the five essentials.
Yes.
If you want to read more on the five essentials, go to maxliving.com. It's a rather novel concept that you would just take care of your body in a proactive way.
Right.
And so I think that's where we have to really look at, like, even medical doctors are starting to understand that a chiropractor's role is in vitalism and in health.
Yes.
We're not treating disease. We're not diagnosing disease. We're not even attempting to do those things because we have bigger fish to fry. And it's this thing called vitalism, where we're trying to help your body be and achieve, help you achieve the greatest potential health you can for as long as you possibly can. You're already born with it. We just want to maximize that potential over a lifetime. That's why it's called Max Living.
I was going to say, that's a great name. I love that name. So that's really good. I love dispelling that myth, right? I think here's a last myth that I'll give you.
What?
Why didn't my medical doctor tell me about subluxation?
Because they were never trained to detect subluxations. And here's why they were never trained to detect them, because there's not a drug or a surgery that's going to have an effect on that subluxation in a healthy manner. Right. So they might look at the same x-ray, they might see the same thing. We analyze it very differently, look at it very differently, because our goal is to correct it.
Right.
And their goal is to just watch it get worse. And then they might do surgery later on in some way, shape, or form. So they believe that problems in the spine can cause damage, not just pain, but eventually also cause damage to the nervous system. They know that. They just do nothing to correct it.
Yes.
Because I would argue the same, like when it comes to heart disease, they don't do anything to correct heart disease.
Right.
They just use drugs to treat and alleviate the symptoms until your heart gives out, and then they do surgery on your heart. So it's really the same philosophy that they use for everything else, which is this disease symptom management philosophy.
Right.
And you should want much more than that. You should want to have a healthy functioning spine with a healthy functioning nervous system so that your body is not only strong and moving well, but has its greatest potential to heal for as long as you possibly can. And the only people that really are trained to do that well are chiropractors. You know, I've heard of some PTs trying to adjust the spine. It doesn't usually go well.
Right.
Our PTs that we work with, we have an arrangement. They do PT and we do chiropractic.
Right. Absolutely.
One last one I think is important to cover is
that bonus one.
you know, chiropractors and medical doctors people may not understand that we receive virtually identical education.
Oh, this is good.
And so people are like, oh, but you're not a doctor like the same way that a medical doctor is a doctor. And we're not. We're not a doctor the same way that a medical doctor is a doctor. Just like a doctor of internal medicine or a general practitioner is not a doctor the same way that a dentist is a doctor or a veterinarian is a doctor. That doesn't mean it's not difficult or we don't have schooling. Veterinary school is extremely difficult.
So hard.
Chiropractic school is actually very difficult. Our boards are intense. Here's the difference. Medical doctors and chiropractors go through almost identical amounts of schooling in terms of credit hours. We all go to school roughly 8 years, take about the same amount of credits. They're set up a little bit differently. They study a lot more pathology and they study a lot more pharmacology. So yeah. They're more concerned with disease. Yes. And what causes people to die and how to treat the symptoms of that while you're dying.
Right.
From getting diagnosed.
Yes.
Called death. They just treat the symptoms while you actively die.
Right.
Pretty much.
Right.
And they learn how to do some life-saving stuff like, right. You know, in the emergencies. Chiropractors are concerned with life and what causes you to live out health and how to restore health. So it's really this philosophy and science and even practice through art form of studying what causes people to heal.
Yes.
And then as a chiropractor, our major focus is in causes. And so if your focus is in cause and it's all about healing, the first system we should be looking at, if our goal is cause and healing, is the nervous system, because it's the cause of healing in the body. It's how the body heals.
Right.
And so the reason we adjust segments of the spine isn't just to get that beautiful cracking noise that some people love or hate. And if you're into ASMR or whatever that is on YouTube, people love hearing that noise.
Right.
Like the chiropractic videos become popular, but the cracking isn't the goal. The cracking is a byproduct of an adjustment that happens when a joint has not moved well in a long time. And it's been very, very, very subluxated and pressure builds up and you start unlocking the movement and adjusting that spine and changing the way that spine's able to move. There's a release that happens and it's pressure that's released, kind of like bubble wrap.
Yes.
It makes a noise, but the best part is the pressure and tension and stress and interference and damage that is released from the nervous system. That when that adjustment happens, there's less of all that on the nervous system and the nervous system is able to return to a more normal function.
Which is a beautiful thing.
That's what chiropractic is.
Yes.
And very frequently, we've even had to educate some of the 8, 10, 12, 15 medical doctors that we regularly take care of, even neurosurgeons. And we've had to teach them what chiropractic's about because they got schooled on something very different.
Right.
And our education, so part of our job is to teach people, including people who studied different practices in different types of, you know, healthcare.
Right, exactly. Listen, I think this is a beautiful discussion. I love dispelling a lot of these myths and then talking about what some of the facts about chiropractic are. And now that we've made chiropractic sound a little bit more enticing.
Or a lot.
Or a lot, right? A lot bit more enticing. Be sure to find a Max Living office near you. The best way to do that is go to maxliving.com/locations and you'll find an office that's near you.
That's awesome. So we're looking forward to next week on the podcast as well, on the Max Living podcast. Next week, we're going to be talking about fevers.
Yes.
Are they good? Are they bad? What do you do? When do you intervene?
Right.
Should you intervene? So we're looking forward to that conversation next week. Until next time, this is the Max Living podcast. Thanks for listening to the Max Living podcast. To find a doctor near you, head to maxliving.com/locations.